Namaste Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So this afternoon, we'll continue the Bhagavad Gita overview chapter by chapter. This chapter is, for this afternoon, is chapter 11, the universal form of Krishna. Om Maginati Mirandasya Gyana Gyana Shalakaya Shakshiva Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurubhe Namaha Shri Jaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swamadatikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Gita Madakamalam Shri Guru Vaisavam Shri Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sagana Rukunatam Tam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Jaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shri Hare Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dinabandhu Jagatpate, Opesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostate, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vishavanu Sute Devi Paramami Hare Priya, Pancha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sunibheva Cha, Patitanam Pavaneyo, Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Bhagavad Gita is here. Some can be distributed to some bodies.
We'll do interactive for some of the texts. English translation, you will be reading some of it. So I hope this is not light for everybody to be able to see. Hare Krishna. So, the universal form of Krishna. The universal form of Krishna was revealed at the Kurukshetra place of pilgrimage turned battlefield by Krishna's arrangement. So, when you get the Bhagavad Gita open to chapter 11, first there's a quick summary and I'll read that summary. Lord Krishna grants Arjuna divine vision and reveals his spectacular, unlimited form as the cosmic universe. Thus, he conclusively establishes his divinity. Krishna explains that his own all-beautiful human-like form is the original form of Godhead. One can perceive this form only by pure devotion and service. Now, that's just the beginning before text one begins. And that's already saying more than a mouthful. Krishna grants Arjuna divine vision. We are in these physical bodies. There ain't much divine thing going on with these physical bodies. We might as well admit. So, by Krishna's mercy, he has revealed himself in the way in which our limited senses can perceive him. He revealed himself in his deity form. But even that, we have opportunity, obviously, the wonderful thing is we have opportunity to serve the deity. That is wonderful. We just have to want to do it, have to learn how to do it, and do it from your heart. And that service is very much acceptable and that service is very much recorded in anyone that does their spiritual bank account. But to see Krishna as he is, we have to have the salve of love. That's explained in Brahma Samhita. And still, Krishna did so much for us. And in the battle of Kurukshetra, he, by his own arrangement, putting Arjuna in such bewilderment. Arjuna asked the right questions. Arjuna did all the material complaints that connected with the situation, and still was attentively listening to not his friend, but his spiritual master. Before then, they were like acting like friends. And of course, there are rasas, five different rasas, and friendship is one of them. So Arjuna was in that particular ras. But in this case, when it came down to a serious business of having to kill and possibly be killed, then he asked for instructions, asking that Krishna be the spiritual master for him. So in this chapter, chapter 11, Krishna grants Arjuna the divine vision, and then he reveals his spectacular unlimited form as a cosmic universe. Actually, it was in the request of Arjuna to do that. We will come to that point. It's in the, explained nicely in the chapter. He conclusively establishes his divinity by doing that, and also establishes, well, he started with his 200 form. Everybody didn't really know that he was the owner of all there was. There were people that were thinking that they could take over Hastinapur and Duryodhana. People did not know who Krishna really was. Although before the war itself started, there were so many things that happened that should have prompted the demons that they were dealing with a very, very superior personality. And still all of that didn't quite work. They wanted their own aims. When somebody says, stop something, that I'm going to get it no matter what, by hook or crook. In this case, they used crooked form. So, as I said earlier, we will read some of the English translations in the texts, and some parts of it, the way this has been prepared, there will be some parts of it where it's purported to Prabhupada also. I myself, you know, read that part. So, text number one. Text number one. We won't do Sanskrit, we'll do only the English translation. So text number one, text number two, text number three, and text number four. So, if you feel inclined to read the English translation, please do so. I'm not going to call on any one particular person to read, but 1, 2, 3, and 4, I'm going to read that first. So someone can start with text 1, the English translation.
Text 1, Arjuna said, by hearing my instructions, having given me about these most confidential spiritual subjects, my illusion has now been destroyed.
Okay, so the first text, Krishna says, by my hearing the instructions that you have kindly given me about the most confidential spiritual subjects. And that's written in the chapters before this. Krishna establishes himself that he is the last word in practically anything you can think of. So then Arjuna is saying his illusion has been dispelled. Now, speaking about illusion, sometimes it takes some of us quite a while for some things to happen. Krishna has put us through different situations that we learn our lessons. But we should definitely take heart from the fact that as long as we are associating with other devotees, as long as we're chanting the holy name, and as long as we are reading, whether we know it or not, our illusion is slowly being dispelled. Little by little by little, we may think about our own selves, well, I'm at this point, this maybe I understand a little bit, and this other one, I can't quite connect with it, and that's all right. Keep chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I remember one of our sannyasis in ISKCON pointed out a very important point to me in my own development. He was a Girinagri and he gave a lecture and said, you cannot purify yourself. Only Krishna will purify you. You can humble yourself, yes, but you cannot purify yourself. Purification comes through Krishna because He is the cause of all causes. Everything that's underlined what we do, He knows about it. So if we have the intention to get to know Him more and to associate with devotees as the prime reason for living, then He will also help you through the kinks that we have, the problems that we have. We take them off. Every family knows. We don't usually talk about family situations to others unless the people who are, they are people who we keep things in confidence for. But every life here is a learning process. It really is. It's a learning process. And so it doesn't matter how many years somebody has been in Krishna consciousness, they're still learning. Anyone says, well, I've mastered everything there is to master, that person is an illusion. Even the spiritual masters don't speak like that. And they're the ones to teach. So it is a learning process. And when we put in the effort in Krishna consciousness, then the mercy would come in the end. Krishna would say, all right, we've seen what you've done. We've talked about birth. We've talked about disease. And some of us know a little bit about old age. And because nobody really experienced death now, but we've seen other people leave their bodies and the problems that that causes. My spiritual master, as well as Bhaktivedanta Swami, decided that in his last moments here, he will actually use the death process to also teach us how a person dies. So his death was public. You could come look. The time he was leaving his body, it was videoed. People saw it later on. And people who were there at that time in Girinagri, they saw him, you know, go through the whole process with the jaw relaxing and so on. And then people singing to remember the holy name and left that way. But that's life here with this physical body. Good thing is, once you understand that we're not the body, then whatever the body takes us through, that's just the body. Use the body to serve Krishna. Use the body to serve Krishna's devotees. Krishna says, Man Manabhava Bhakto, Madhyajima Maskuru. Krishna says, always think of me. Actually, if he hasn't hit you yet, it will. That the more you think about Krishna, the happier you become. Life will give us challenges, but the more we think about Krishna, the happier we become. The more we think about Krishna, the more solutions come too. It's like that. And if we believe that, then we will experience it even more in our lives, because it becomes even obvious then that when the solutions come. So Srila Prabhupada says, and we will read the whole purpose for each one, but well, for not all of them, we won't go into all the texts, some of them, so I announced. As far as Arjuna is concerned, he says his illusion is over. That means that Arjuna no longer thinks of Krishna as a mere human being, as a friend of his, but as the source of everything. And that is what we have to remember. When we get into different difficulties, Krishna is the source of everything. Therefore, there was one lecture to the Prabhupada, they put a nice title on it. When you chant Hare Krishna, everything will be alright. There's actually a lecture like that all the time. You chant Hare Krishna, everything will be alright. Some people here that I know, their situations, difficult situations that they went through, but at the time they were going through the height of the difficulty, they were chanting even more rounds. It was the smartest thing to do. So much anxiety was there, but they were chanting more rounds anyway. And so we have difficulties, but we have to understand that once a person is a devotee, Krishna in the heart is always watching what we do. And so we shouldn't be too worried that we don't have the answers. We won't always have the answers. So now, Krishna now is being seen by Arjuna as the source of everything. Now, Sri Prabhupada says, in order to establish Krishna's divinity for all, Arjuna requested in this chapter, it's written here, that Krishna show his universal form. So that was the reason. He knew and he believed, he, Arjuna, believed in Krishna's divinity. But does everybody? Well, half the people on the battlefield didn't really know who Krishna was. So, to establish his divinity, and there were others too that were going to fight. The demigods, they were also observing, even though they were not going to take part. And so Krishna was requested by Arjuna to show his universal form, which is described here in this chapter, so that all would know Krishna's divinity. And even other planets that they could also see. Can someone read chapter, text 2? Text 2.
O lotus-eyed one, I have heard from you in detail about the appearance and disappearance of every living entity and have realized your inexhaustible glories.
So, this is Arjuna saying, O lotus-eyed one, Krishna, I've heard from you in detail about the appearance and disappearance of every living entity we talk about, when they say appearance and disappearance, we talk about birth and death. So appearance and disappearance is the soul appears to this physical body, to this material world, and disappears through death. Okay. Now, text 3. Anyone can read text 3?
Text 3. O greatest of all personalities, O supreme form, though I see you here before me in your actual position, as you have described yourself, I wish to see you, how you have entered into this cosmic manifestation. I want to see that form of yours.
Yeah, so now at this point, it's written in text 3, greatest of all personalities, Supreme Form. It says, I see you here before me in your actual position, as you described yourself, because in chapters earlier, it describes me as the first and the last and everything. But now, Arjuna, as we've heard, he wanted to establish Krishna's divinity for all to see. So now he says, I want to see you, how you entered into this cosmic manifestation, to this material world. I want to see that form of yours. All right, text 4.
Text 4. If you think that I am able to behold your cosmic form, O my Lord, O Master of all mystic power, then kindly show me that unlimited universal self.
Yeah, it says, if you think that I'm able to behold your cosmic form. So Arjuna didn't really know. By that time, he didn't know whether he'll be able to see it. O Master of mystic power, then kindly show me that unlimited universal self. So Srila Prabhupada says the purport, and I'll read a short purport. It is said that one can neither see, hear, understand, nor perceive the Supreme Lord Krishna by the material senses. But if one is engaged in loving transcendental service to the Lord from the beginning, then one can see the Lord by revelation. So it's not possible to use these material senses to perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when we serve from our hearts, then we can see, we can begin to have a perception. The way the Lord appears, custom appears in our hearts, the way that's the way he does it. That you see, yeah, there is something about life that's separate from this material life. Alright, so then the Supreme Personality of Godhead responded. So that's going to be text 5. 6 and 7. And anyone that wants to start reading 5, and after that, another person can read 6, and after that, another person can read 7. I'm not commenting in between. So, text 5. Anyone?
Bring first now to God has said, my dear Arjuna, O son of Kuta, see now my opulences, hundreds and thousands of very divine and multicolored forms.
Text 6.
O best of the Bharatas, see here different manifestations of Adityas, Vasus, Rudras, Ashwini Kumaras, and all the other demigods. Behold the many wonderful things which no one has ever seen or heard of.
Text 7.
O Arjuna, whatever you wish to see, behold at once in this body but mine. This universal form can show you whatever you now desire to see, and whatever you may want to see in the future. Everything, knowing and not knowing, is here completely.
Wonderful response by Krishna. Everything that you want to see, behold at once those things in this body of mind. Universal form can show you whatever you now desire to see, whatever you want to see in the future. In other words, even things that haven't happened yet, he will show it in his universal form. He made that. Everything moving and non-moving is here in one place. So, 8, I'll read that too, but it says, you cannot see me with your present eyes, therefore I give you divine eyes. Behold my mystic opulence. So here is where Krishna indicates, we cannot see him with these eyes. And that's the anointed specially. Therefore I give you divine eyes. Behold my mystic opulence. Now, we'll jump to text 10 and 11. One person can read the 10 and 11 are together. 10 and 11. Anyone can read that.
Arjuna's life has performed unlimited acts, unlimited eyes, unlimited wonderful vision. The form was decorated with many celestial ornaments, vines, upgrades, weapons. He wore celestial garments and garments, and many divine sets of his over his body. All was wondrous, brilliant, and
so, thank you. Text 10 and 11. Arjuna saw in that universal form unlimited mouths, unlimited eyes, unlimited wonderful visions. The form was decorated with many celestial ornaments. And they bore many divine upraised weapons. I hope you are trying to imagine something as we read this. He wore celestial garlands and garments, and many divine scents were smeared all over his body. All was wondrous, brilliant, unlimited, and all expanding. And I'll tell you a story at this point. So I was teaching in a community college in Maryland, and I had read a couple of books, including the Science of Self-Realization at that point. After Science of Self-Realization, then I started reading Bhagavad Gita. And at that time, I knew Madame Suya. We weren't married yet. And I was reading Bhagavad Gita, and some of the things that I picked up from it, when I remember, I would just explain to her. And I came to this particular chapter and read this. Arjuna saw unlimited mouths, unlimited eyes, unlimited, so many things unlimited. And it was all wondrous, brilliant, unlimited, all expanding. Now, in chapter text 12, I should have really had somebody to add to it. If hundreds of thousands of suns were to rise at once into the sky, their radiance might resemble the effulgence of the Supreme Person. So, if hundreds of thousands of suns, the one sun, how much brightness is there? So hundreds and thousands will be so much, we won't be able to look up at all. If they were to rise into the sky, their radiance might resemble the effulgence of the Supreme Person in that universal form. Now, if we add it to the fact that Arjuna saw with his divine vision, now he had his Gandhiva bow, right? One Gandhiva bow. And then he looks up and he sees many divine upraised weapons. Before the war, Arjuna had gone to the heavenly planets. He had acquired the mantras to get the Divyastras, the divine weapons. So he knew how to call them. But to see this all at once with the universal form, my mind was just blown so bad. I said, Krishna is like this, and I started talking about all, remember as I said that at that time I was talking to myself, so yeah. And trying to describe as best as I can, because I was blown away. I was just totally blown away, because we knew God, you know, in our own, well, from Christian faith, that's even horrible, because you don't even think that God can look young and all that. So that's the whole thing, when we get there, right? The other day I had to talk about it, somebody that was here, a Christian, saw a picture of Krishna, just bring it up, just a short thing. And, oh, this is your God, you were saying? How come your God is so young? Krishna is the beginning of time. Krishna was there, and you know, God, you call God. I said, oh yeah, well, I agree as far as the time goes, so he's the oldest, said Yaks. But when people really look old, what happens to them next? She says they die. Does God die? He said, no. That's why she look older. Yeah, he said, no, it can't. Yeah, so Krishna's body obviously is a spiritual body. It doesn't change, as you know, that part. So hundreds and thousands of suns will rise up the sky. Their radiance might resemble the effulgence. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, what Arjuna saw was indescribable. Yet Sanjay is trying to give a mental picture of that great revelation to the Krishna, as we are also trying to give a mental picture of it. Neither Sanjay nor the Krishna was present, but Sanjay, of course, by Vyasadeva, could see what had happened. So he's comparing the situation, as far as it can be understood, to an imaginable phenomena, thousands of suns. So there is so much in chapter 11. From this point on, Arjuna was a little scared, maybe a lot scared, because he was beginning to wonder why Krishna, who was his friend before all of this, was looking like this. It was universal form, but it was actually a fearful type. It was fearful. The unlimitedness, well, Arjuna kind of expected, because he said unlimited before he requested for the universal form. He knew that there would be something unlimited about it. He just didn't know it was going to be like that. And so Arjuna was bewildered. Arjuna was astonished. His hair was standing on end. And then he began to pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the prayer, which starts from 15, I'm going to ask somebody to read 15. We won't read everything, but 15 describes, but this is text 15. So, chapter 11, text 15. So, yeah, send somebody to read right now.
Text 15. Mm-hmm. Arjuna said, my dear Lord Krishna, I see assembled in your body all the demigods and various other living entities. I see Brahma sitting on the lotus flower, as well as Lord Shiva and all the sages and divine servants.
So Arjuna is praying, but he starts with the description of what he's seeing. I see assembled in your body, this universal form, all the demigods and various other living entities. Stop. Now, if you were brought up in a family in this lifetime by appealing to demigods to give different material things to have you go on with life. Here, Krishna is showing that all the demigods are contained in this universal form. So the demigods, including Lord Brahma, topmost, he's sitting on the lotus flower, Lord Shiva is there, the sages are there, the divine serpents are there. So Arjuna, Sri Prabhupada says in the purport, sees everything in the universe. He sees Brahma, he sees the celestial serpent, by the way, and that's Sri Prabhupada described as Vasuki. Gaudashaya Vishnu, that serpent that Gaudashaya Vishnu lies on in the lower regions of the universe, as is described here, I'm reading actually from the purport. So, Arjuna could see all of this. Now, if we stop for a moment and say, this is Krishna. This is the universal form of Krishna. Let that sink in a little bit. This is the universal form of Krishna. We are in the material world, remember? So, it matters to us. We are fortunate by the mercy of the spiritual master that we are embarking on loving divine service, bhakti yoga, devotional service, and we will be taken out of what is actually going to be the universal form, back to the spiritual world, that we are fortunate in that sense, we are embarking on this journey. But by right now, we are here. And Lord Brahma and the snakes, the universal, I mean the divine serpents, there's also one particular one that's called Vasuki. There's another pastime that is involved in that. There are other snakes called Vasuki, as Srila Prabhupada is saying here. So, Krishna is incredible. Krishna, in one sentence, is incredible. It's incredibly incredible. The other day, we were at a morning Zoom lecture, and a question came up. But the Lord Paramatma, in the heart, is observing the individual souls also in the heart of the Lord, the two in the Lord. But then, we say the Paramatma is also in every atom. Try to imagine that. Atoms are very small, and there are zillions of atoms in every single physical body, and Krishna is there. Never mind the ones that have been there in this physical body. What about the air? We may not see the air, but you know there are different gases in the air, and each gas has some atoms in it, and the Lord is there. So the Lord is in all of these, and also in the heart. And if you try to use our mind here to try to figure it out, it's not so easy. Then how can all that be possible? Well, how can the universal form be possible? That, you can ask the same question, even though Arjuna is describing here. So, let's do 16 and 17, okay? And then we'll take it to a different level. 16 and 17. One can read 16 right now.
O Lord of the universe, O universal form, I see in your body many, many arms, bellies, mouths, and eyes, expanded everywhere, without limit. I see in you no end, no middle, and no beginning.
Take 17. Next. Anyone else? Someone else can read 17.
Your form is difficult to see with fundamental square and fullness. Mm-hmm. Spreading from outsides, from breathing fire, with immeasurable radiance of light. Yet I see this glowing from everywhere, formed with various crowns of love.
So, thank you. So, 16 and 17. Arjuna is saying, O Lord of the universe, O universal form, I see in your body many, many arms, bellies, mouths, eyes expanded everywhere. Now, he's already talked about the demigods. He's talked about celestial violence and different saints and so on is coming. And now he's going through the different parts of the different bodies making up the universal form. And the numerous. No end, no beginning, no middle. And it's not easy to see because of his glaring effulgence, this form, spreading on all sides like blazing fire or the immeasurable radiance of a sun. Yet I see this glowing form everywhere, adorned with various crowns, discs, clubs. So at some point, Papa translates here. Arjuna began to ask, now, let's go back to the relationship before this. It was a relationship of a friend. Krishna was there to help Arjuna in certain situations. Sometimes the whole of the Pandavas, all five of them. Sometimes the Pandavas and their mother, like in the house of Lak, the host would be burnt. Sometimes the Pandavas and their wife, in the situation of the dice. Krishna was there to help. Krishna will be there to help every single devotee if we turn our eyes and our attention to him all of the time. All of the time. And not depend on anyone else. So we are fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has come to give us the mantra that we can also say in the West. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Even if we are confused about anything in this material world, just keep chanting. Just keep chanting. Just keep chanting. What's in this Bhagavad Gita in chapter 11 is showing us the immense power that Krishna has in the material world. That's the bottom line. The immense power that Krishna has in the material world. Any being that you think you can ask for help is part of the universal form. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, where you turn is part of the universal form. And Shiva Baba said, Krishna, just worship Krishna. Just do it according to the instructions of the spiritual master and you'll be alright. So, demigods are all there. And Krishna, from the rest of the text, he goes into more detail. And then he asks, Arjuna asks, why Krishna has come? What is your mission? And Krishna responds to that. And that is in text 32. Krishna responds to that in text 32. If somebody has gotten the text 32, they can read it in this translation.
The Supreme Person of Godhead said, Time I am, the great destroyer of the worlds, and I have come here to destroy all people, with the exception of you, the Pandavas. All the soldiers here on both sides will be slain.
So he was reminding him now, thank you, in the Battle of Kurukshetra, at the Kurukshetra pilgrimage place. Time I am, because I didn't want to know what his mission was. I am the great destroyer of the worlds and I've come here to destroy all people. The material world is an inception here for a period of time and then it's annihilated. So this is a process that goes on, but in this particular case, for the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna says, I've come to destroy all people and except you, Pandavas, all the soldiers on both sides will be slain. Now, if you hear that from God, then it seems like the mission of God is to come to destroy. But is that the case? Sometimes we have to be reminded we are not these physical bodies. Therefore, the destruction is actually what we're going to see with these eyes. But the souls are going to be elevated to a better situation. When Krishna, the bottom line is, When Krishna consciousness is the underlying life that a devotee is leading, then that devotee's time to depart here is also the time when that soul is going to be in a better situation. We leave this particular lifetime to get into a better situation. Whatever happens, the next life will be a better one. As long as we're taking the process now seriously here. And so that should be hopefully a very, very, very helpful statement that will calm us down when difficulty arises. In the end, everybody that has come to Krishna will see themselves in a better situation. Now, better situation is not defined by us though. Better situation is defined by Krishna. Because Krishna looks at how the soul can be elevated. That's the real person. But as long as everything that we do, every little thing that we do in Krishna consciousness is in our favor. It's recorded. It's recorded permanently. So we have a challenging situation with COVID-19. Some people made decisions. Some people made other decisions. So some people have come to the temple. Some people are not in the temple. This is not just here. It's everywhere, literally around the world, because this society is an international society. And people did have to make decisions based on their physical situation. And also some situations were trying situations given by Maya to see what people would do. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily that those who came to the temple are in a better situation than those who didn't come to the temple. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It means that to some extent. But Krishna consciousness, the temple is helped, definitely. It's a place that devotees can associate. That's always there. That's always helpful. But when it comes to chanting your rounds, it doesn't matter whether you're by yourself or you're with 1,000 devotees, you're the one chanting. The point we're making is progress towards the goal of getting out of the material world will still depend on us. The advantage is when we are around people who are doing the same thing, it's easier then for Maya to be pushed aside. That is the big advantage of sadhusanga, associating with devotees. So it's always good to find where you can find devotees associating, serving Krishna according to the instructions of the spiritual master. That's important because that keeps Maya from changing our minds about Krishna consciousness. That's the big advantage. And so those who are congregating still have that advantage. They have that advantage. But when it comes down to chanting, when it comes down to hearing, well, that, whether we're in the temple or not, it's on us to do. Anyway, Arjun, after he sees all of this, Krishna tells that he's come. Shri Shiva, Jagannabadi Shivaji Maharani ki, Shri Kunitai ki. Then Arjun is urged by Krishna, okay, well, you've seen everything. You've seen the great warriors have already been destroyed by me. You've seen them going to my usual mouths, plenty of them. So, the takeaway myself that I got from this is if Krishna can reveal himself to that extent that Arjuna can describe, so Arjuna himself was even scared. He asked him to come back to his original 200 form, which Krishna did later. So there is nothing to worry about. There really isn't anything to worry about. All we have to do is talk to the mind. Mana Shiksha. Situations happen that are difficult. There isn't any situation that Krishna cannot handle because anyone that you could get help from, including Lord Brahma, they are only a part of his universal form. They are only a part of his universal form. So we need to have that particular mantra, make a mantra out of it. Krishna is in control. If his universal form contains all the powerful entities in the material world, then what is it that's so big for us that he couldn't deal with? What is it that is so big for us that he couldn't deal with? A few things we want to just say, speak one moment and then they open up questions. I know the time now. We need to take this process so seriously and also make some vows for ourselves. This is a Kartik period. Therefore, if we improve our Krishna consciousness, we will be very, very, very fortunate, because everything that we do in terms of what we get from it, it will be multiplied, and the effect of it, the positive effect of it, or the positive account will multiply several times. And so this is the time, the Dhammadhar pastime period, it's also the time that we should take things seriously. Now, I took the liberty of writing a few of the 32 offenses from the Nectar of Devotion. We won't go through all 32, but I'll say a few things just so we can kind of fine-tune our devotion, how we do things. Okay. When we are offering obeisances, not dandavas, just obeisances like that, cards like that, do not do that on one hand. Little minor things that's there. Don't do it on one hand. Don't spread your legs before the deity. Okay? I know one time my switcher master literally yelled at one of his disciples for doing something like that again. Like, she has been around longer, so she should know better to do that. Okay? Don't lie down before the deity of Krishna. I mean, kids can do that because they don't know what they're doing, right? But the adults, no. Don't speak a lie before the deity. Don't talk very loudly before the deity. Why? Because when you're in front of the deity, it's a meditative time. Don't quarrel. Don't fight before the deity. In other words, even if we can't relate very deeply with the deity, because our eyes are not anointed with, if you're like me, you don't have those kind of eyes. But we still should be very, very respectful to some things we know is wrong. Don't do that before the deity. Now, a few things about how we relate to spiritual master. When I add that, and then we'll stop. One should not offer obeisances silently to spiritual master. That means you have to shout out so loud. We're not saying that. But don't say it in your head. You're offering obeisances, pranam, Srila Prabhupada, namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Bhutale, Srimadi, Bhakti, Vedanta, Swami, Jinyami, Namaste, Saraswati, Devi, Gauravadi, Pacharini, Virvishesha, Sunyavadi, Pastachari, Sitari. The advantage of doing that is, well, let's look at it the other way. If you say it silently, even that short period of time, the way the mind is, you can even travel. In that short period of time, it can happen. But once the other sense is added to it, the sense of speaking, now the sense of hearing is also added to it, because now you're speaking, then chances are that the concentration would be better. Two more things. One should not praise himself before the spiritual master. Don't praise yourself before the spiritual master. And don't mock the demigods. For the deity. They are very, very, very important in terms of the work that they do for the material energy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So are there any questions, takeaways, points? Hare Krishna. Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy.
In the starting, you mentioned about the importance of association to remain fixed in devotion, especially very important. So, when we talk about association, what are the do's and don'ts, like what kind of association you should seek? It should be associated or not? Just a few practical do's and don'ts.
So, the question was about association of devotees. And Prabhu was asking for practical do's and don'ts. Clearly, when we associate with devotees, we're going to, if we're not doing a particular activity like, you know, chanting together or singing together, more than likely we'll be talking with each other. We converse with each other. That's just the big thing outside of these two other things that we do. The big advantage is you know that the devotee knows about Krishna, and you know about Krishna. You serve Krishna, you worship Krishna, they do the same. And Krishna says, think of me always. Therefore, in our conversations, we should try to bring the Krishna into it. What we remember about Krishna into the conversation. So we may be talking with our friends, and we may be saying something that's interesting. They say pleasant. But even while it's pleasant and they're all material, bring Krishna into it. If somebody describes what they happened to them that was quite beneficial and they're happy about it and describe it to you, you tell them it's Krishna's mercy and Guru's mercy. Krishna's mercy and Guru's. That way you remind the person about Krishna. So the biggest thing is when we are relating to devotees, first of all, we shouldn't offend them because that's asking for trouble. Krishna devotees are special devotees, special entities. He's partial. He's more, well, he's equal to everyone, but because devotees have turned to him, so he also rewards like that by giving them more attention. So you don't definitely want to offend anyone, but especially devotees. And when you're conversing with them, bring a Krishna angle into the conversation. Hare Krishna. Any other comment or takeaways you want? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
So my takeaway is the point you mentioned. Krishna is in every atom. So one can think of that point and he can think of that saying that Krishna is in every atom. You can remember the Krishna all the time. But if you have that consciousness all the time within us, by looking at every area, we know Krishna is there.
Krishna is there everywhere, yeah. Very, very important, Krishna is in every animal. You see, in the other religions, they will tell you, where is God? God's everywhere. But you can't define God scientifically everywhere the way Krishna consciousness defines it, that the Paramatma is in every single atom. Well, the atoms are everywhere, therefore Krishna is everywhere, every atom. That is a scientific conclusion from it. So it's God's everywhere, God's in every atom. Anyways.
We can do from here. If you can't, there's a little knob turned down. There's a little knob. Yeah. Oh. Did you see it? A little?
Yeah. Then don't. Okay, any other questions? Okay. Yeah.
Probably, like in one of the earlier verses of chapter 11. Talking about the universal form, it talks about Sarvadaksha Vishnu and snake bed on which Vishnu is sleeping and his Vasuki is being said. I have a confusion, like, is it like Ananta Shesha?
Or in a devotional life, we need the devotees. There's just no getting away with it. And sometimes whenever we think that we can do it on our own, as you were mentioning, that at some point we feel lonely, you know, we feel lost, and then at the end we said, no, we can only do this, but we just, you know, definitely need the devotees. And I want to share this again, like, you know, looking at Daniel, you know, a month ago, how he reminded me also when he was having his work challenges, that he just needed the devotees, and I said, wow, such a deep inspiration for me that just 2 weeks and he was already missing the devotees and he made changes. So I wanted to share that my takeaway is how I feel so inspired by other devotees that they really wait for devotee association and how we also depend on other devotees for their association. So, and that's the only way we can progress in spiritual life. So thank you for reminding us how important it is that we need the devotees, no matter one, no matter what. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. It's the devotees that remind us about Krishna. The devotees that also we do our practice in relating to them as how we're going to relate to those who are in the spiritual world. That's devotees. Because devotees in the spiritual world, those in the spiritual world are all Krishna conscious. That's just the way they live their lives. But the ones that are here, we have devotees and non-devotees. So devotees are the ones who are going to really, really, really practice how, and they are also special to the Lord, how we're going to relate when we go back to spiritual world. So if you relate well now here, then it's assumed you relate well in the spiritual world, so you'll be allowed to go back. If not, then a few more lifetimes. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Move to one side.
With about your last point regarding Makhanda Devatas, or Makhanda demigods, with Govardhan Puja coming up, what's the mindset or the attitude you should have towards Lord Indra? And I mean, because when you talk about the pastimes, like, it's almost making light of them in a sense, but
yeah,
it's not necessarily a lot of fun.
When in the past times a demigod does something that clearly is wrong, well, usually it ends with Krishna dealing with the situation. And we as devotees, we learn our lessons from it. So basically, and this is even, well, I won't get too details about it, but my spiritual master made a comment about this back in the end of my eyes. You definitely can learn. You can learn from good situations as well as bad situations. So some of the past times shouldn't have happened if they, you say, well, didn't they know better? But the other times too is an ego situation. That one that you brought up, especially with Lord Indra, was an ego situation. You saw Krishna convince his father Nanda Baba not to do the puja to him for rain, and of course he took exception to it and tried to kill those who were in Vrindavan with the Samvatsara clouds pouring the rains that destroy the universe. It's a serious situation. Now, so, and I'll bring another point too, that this similar question was asked for one of our sannyasis. And he answered it this way. Krishna sometimes puts some of the demigods, Indra in particular, in situations for us to learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
So he was forgiven. But that was a situation that is telling us that no matter what we think we are, or what we think is supposed to come to us, if it doesn't, that we shouldn't make a big deal of it. It's part of humility. Indra was not being humble. And of course, then there's the other part of it, the transcendental part of it, and that was that those in Vrindavan had a wonderful time with Krishna, associating with him day and night, 7 days straight. They got that too, okay? But it took this particular pastime for it to happen. But in general, the work done by the demigods is quite important for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, that's why it says here from the Nectar of Devotion, don't put them down. Don't put them down. Respect them, but we worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the instructions of the spiritual master. That's there. So we should know that they are playing an important role. Yeah. Even if they seem to be wrong in some situation. Hare Krishna. Any other closing comments? Takeaways? Okay. Rantraj. Shrimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Shri Prabhupada ki. Itai Gaura Premanande. Thank you. Hare Krishna.